Some big-name multinational companies could find out this week if their tax minimization strategies are falling apart. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Ireland today appealed a European Union decision to force Apple to pay back taxes to Ireland. The EU had accused Ireland of working out a special deal with Apple to pay hardly any taxes there, an arrangement the EU says is illegal and unfair. Apple itself is also expected to file an appeal this week. Ireland is not interested in collecting the $14 billion in question. The BBC's Alex Ritson is following this from London.
The reason the European Commission was unhappy was its inquiry found that Apple had paid just 0.005% as its tax rate in 2014.
So the EU's interest here is stopping multinationals from gaming the tax system and not paying much taxes anywhere. But Ireland's interest is it likes the business. It likes Apple to do business in Ireland and was not lobbying for Apple to pay more.
That's exactly it. Ireland sees this as a way of bringing many multinational companies in. The way the European Commission sees it, of course, is that it's Ireland actually funneling tax that should be paid in Germany, in the UK, in France, all over the European through Ireland. The claim in this case is that Ireland had created what they're calling a sweetheart deal for Apple, giving this ridiculously low rate of tax. Now, this is denied by Apple and denied by the Irish government.
And the potential here is for a ruling as quickly as this week.
The expectation is we will know what is happening by the end of the week, and there will be a ruling that will stand. And there will be many other companies that are watching this. The European Commission has released papers showing it's investigating at least 14 other companies. Were this case to go the European Commission's way, this could be very bad news for a lot of other multinationals.
The BBC's Alex Ritson in our partner newsroom in London. Alex, thank you.
Thank you, David.
We often report on the income gap between top executives and workers. Turns out that the gap continues after retirement. A new report says that the 100 top-earning CEOs have a collective $4.7 billion in retirement funds set aside for them by their companies. By contrast, many Americans have little or no retirement savings, aside from Social Security. From the Marketplace Bureau at Oregon Public Broadcasting, Mitchell Hartman reports.
The Institute for Policy Studies reports that the 100 CEOs with the biggest retirement plans have anywhere from $25 million to nearly a billion apiece in company pensions and tax-deferred accounts. Meanwhile, the median 401k balance for American workers is just over $18,000. And report author Sarah Anderson says many companies have eliminated guaranteed pension plans.
While CEOs of large companies have been slashing retirement benefits for workers, they've been feathering their own nests.
But pension expert Olivia Mitchell at the Wharton School doesn't think high CEO retirement pay necessarily shortchanges other workers.
We could have a separate discussion about executive compensation, but I think the right question is the national retirement system failing? Is it doing well?
Mitchell says many professional workers are saving enough in 401ks with an employer contribution, but many middle and low-income workers just don't earn enough to save, making them entirely dependent on Social Security. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Marketplace is a nonprofit service supported by you, the people we serve each and every day with news about money, jobs, innovation in all of their forms. I'm here to ask if you could make a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace today. Any amount that you can handle counts twice, thanks to a dollar-for-dollar match from the Candida Fund. If you could, donate at marketplace.org by December 31st. Troubled Italian bank Monte dei Paschi is trying to raise $5 billion by the end of the year to stay afloat, and the Italian government is readying a bailout plan if that bank fails to do so. But saving the banks is not the only rescue mission underway in Italy these days. The government has also been struggling to conserve the country's rich architectural heritage, so Italy is turning to China for help. From Rome, Stephen Beard reports.
Amid the traffic noise, pedestrians bustle obliviously past what appears to be a patch of derelict land with some crumbling brickwork. It takes a trained observer like Philip Ditchfield, a British archaeologist living in Rome, to look a little closer.
What we're looking at is nearly 2,000 years old. It was a barracks for the gladiators, a training ground. It was a miniature version of the Colosseum.
Lying in the shadow of the great amphitheatre, the most important Roman gladiatorial barracks have been left to decay.
So where we've got this barrel vaulting, can you see the bricks are literally just tumbling off it? Eventually, what's going to happen is we're going to get a very, very strong rainstorm, and it's going to collapse, as it's done over here. Okay, and then we'll lose all of this.
Italy is littered with architectural gems in various states of disrepair. To restore and protect them all would cost billions.
It's a tremendous economic responsibility. The Ministry of Culture only has certain limited funds.
Daniel Berger, an art consultant with the ministry in Rome. He says a scheme offering tax breaks to companies that put money into Italian cultural heritage has just been extended to China.
I'm sure the Chinese will come through, and it's what I could have called the halo effect. You give something and you feel good about giving it.
The Chinese also have good economic reasons for giving. Italy is one of their top 10 export markets, and they own more than 200 Italian companies. But Claudio Parisi Presice, head of archaeology for Rome, says this isn't a matter of narrow national self-interest.
This cultural heritage is not of Roman people, but is of all the world. So the Chinese, they are interested to help. It's welcome.
But Italy itself has a big economic stake in the fate of its architectural treasures. 45 million tourists flock here every year to see them, accounting for 9% of the country's GDP. In Rome, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
And one more number from the world of higher ed in the U.S. Undergraduate enrollment this fall was down 1.4% at U.S. colleges and universities. Falling enrollment in troubled for-profit colleges is a key part of this. Higher ed is a huge business in America, with 19 million undergrads enrolled even after the drop. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.